Good morning.
Good morning.
You were really good on that last song. No morbid tabernacle choir here. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew 6, and I have a few announcements before we get into the Bible. You know, a few weeks ago, Shaw Washington taught us on praising God. It was a terrific teaching. Next Sunday, Samuel Tiedemann will be here, and he will be sharing on his two-month-long mission trip. Is that what it's been? Yeah, two-month-long mission trip to Bangladesh. So that'll be very exciting to hear from him. Also, some of you know, but some of you don't, so I thought I'd let you know that, you know, we have our church website, graceministryinternational.org, but some of my writings now are on two other websites. One is called christianmonotheism.com, and if you just search for my name, Chuck LaMattina, it'll take you to the articles that I've written on one God. And then also on kingdomready.org, every Thursday on the blog there, if you go to kingdomready.org and then click on the blog, there'll be an article from me up on that website. Started this past Thursday, so for the next 19 weeks, on Thursday, there's a series running on 20 biblical reasons why the doctrine of the Trinity is wrong. So if you want to get these websites again from me, you can, but I just thought I'd let you know. And I want to send out a special greeting to all the believers in New York and in Austria, and especially to the believers having their Bible conference in Poland right now, and also to our brothers and sisters in Kenya and the Philippines and India. Got a wonderful picture from Berwin and his wife this morning in the email. Wonderful family picture. They're really beautiful. I'll bring some of these pictures next Sunday. Well, the Lord's Prayer, this model prayer that teaches us how to pray, touches on every important aspect of life. First, it teaches us the great and sacred request for our Father's name to be hallowed or regarded as holy. Secondly, we are taught to pray for the coming of our Father's kingdom and the restoration and the healing of our world. And this logically then leads to the third petition, which is for God's will to be front and center in our hearts. We pray for God's will to be done on earth, in us, in me, and in you, and in the rest of the world, just as it is in heaven. These are the three good and noble requests of the first part of the prayer. And one of the great lessons that Jesus teaches us when he teaches us these three prayer requests is that in our prayer life and in our own living, we are to center and focus in on God's concerns first. That he is revered, that his fame spreads, that his will is done, that his kingdom comes. But after that, after we have our hearts in the right place, then we may come before God with our own concerns for our families, for our friends, for our work, our finances. After we delight ourselves in the Lord, then we may pray for provision for him to meet all of our daily needs. So let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 9. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Now, the basic meaning of this fourth request, "Give us this day our daily bread," is simple enough. We're asking for God to provide our daily food. And this prayer really, the prayer for bread really includes a lot of our other basic needs, a home, electricity, work, so that we can provide for our family and our loved ones, a car, all the basic things we need in life are all wrapped up in this prayer for God to give us our daily bread. I'm often reminded when I talk about this, about how you take all these generalities and put them in this little word, daily bread, of the movie The Life of Brian. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but Jesus is teaching, he's teaching the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord's Prayer is, and there's thousands of people, and he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and the people way in the back of the crowd say, "What did he say?" And one of the people standing by said, "He says, blessed are the cheesemakers." And then somebody says, "Well, why should the cheesemakers be blessed?" And then one of the rabbis standing there says, "Well, he really means anybody in the dairy industry." So this prayer for our daily bread is a prayer for all of our basic necessities in life, our work, our clothes. Now, let me share with you three general observations here before we go on to some other points. But number one, the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is a prayer for God to meet our needs and not our greeds. 1 Timothy chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, but verse 6 and 8, the Apostle Paul says that godliness with contentment is great gain, and having food and clothing, with these we should be content. Secondly, notice the plural pronoun us and our. Give us this day our daily bread. Just like when we pray our Father, this is a prayer for the family. In this prayer for God to meet our daily needs, I am supposed to be concerned about your needs, and you are supposed to be praying for my needs. This prayer, "Give us this day our daily prayer," teaches us compassion for one another. Philippians chapter 2 in verse 4 says that we are to be concerned not only with our own interests, but also with the interest of others. The needs of my brothers and sisters in Christ should weigh as heavily on my own heart as my own needs. Therefore, when we pray, "Our Father," we say, "Provide all of us, God, what we need this day. Give all of my brothers and sisters their basic needs so that we can love you, provide for our families, and serve." That's what this prayer is all about. Thirdly, we are to pray for the bread, for the necessities we need for the day that is upon us now. Scholars used to have a hard time with this word "daily." I don't know why. "Give us this day our daily bread." Probably because this is the only time that this Greek word is used in the Bible, in the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew and also in Luke. And they were saying, well, it really means, you know, our bread for the future, our heavenly bread. Well, it really means this. And I'm thinking, as I'm working this, you know, it probably means daily. So as I'm looking on the internet and searching all these websites, in recent years, archaeologists found a papyrus in Egypt that has this Greek word in it, epiousios, and it's talking about, I'll have this much flour and this much oil and this much that for what I need for this day. So when Jesus Christ says, pray, give us this day our daily bread, what he's saying is, be content with what you have today. If God meets your needs today, that's fine. I know the mortgage payment is coming in a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, but it's not there yet. Hang in there. Ask God to meet your daily needs. I often think about this story. Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China in the 19th century. And he was one of those great explorer type guys. Didn't stay on the coast. Wanted to go far inland to teach people and to reach the Chinese with Christ. And he came upon a great need. There was a war between one group of people and another, and they took all his provisions, and there he was without anything and no money to buy anything. And when he got into town and got to the post office, there meeting him was a letter from, George Mueller in England that said, "Was praying for you and thinking about you and thought you might have a need. Here is some money for you." So on that day that Hudson Taylor needed the money in China, George Mueller in England, months before, because remember, by that time, the only way to get things from one place to another is by ship, had to sail halfway around the world. Took over 6 months for that letter to get to Hudson Taylor, and it got to him on the day he needed it. "Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread," means we are not to be anxious and worried about the future. We are to live in day-by-day trust and dependence upon God. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning for a rainy day. There's nothing wrong with saving. But let me set forth this warning to you about your IRAs, okay? 1 Timothy 6:17 says we are not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who richly gives us all things to enjoy. There's a verse in Proverbs, if I had been a smart pastor, I would have looked it up. But it talks about how money has wings, and it flies away. So every time you look at the American eagle on your money, remind yourself not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. What is it? Proverbs 23:5. You want to read that for us, John?
You set your eyes on things which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven.
Yeah, so every time you look at the American eagle on your money, remind yourself of that. You know, when the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness, in Deuteronomy 8, it says that God actually allowed the people to go hungry. He allowed them to get to the point where they were, where they had no food. And then he provided for them manna, which means what is it? Nobody knew what it was. It was a type of bread that arrived every day, wafer-like bread, just enough for that day. And each family was to take enough of it for their family. But listen to this. This is profound. God says that he allowed the people to go hungry so that they would learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, my dear friends, ultimately, it's not your job. It's not your bank account. It's not your wisdom that provides for you. It's God. Even your ability to breathe and get up and go to work is a gift from whom? God, right. So in this request for God to give us our daily bread, we learn that just as it is right and important to pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, so it is right and important for us to pray, give us this day our daily needs, our daily bread. Think about how wonderful and comforting this truth is. Our Lord Jesus Christ encourages us to pray to our Father and say, give us this day, all of us, what we need. Just think for a moment. Don't our daily needs really occupy our time and our thinking more than hallowed be your name? Right? If we're honest with ourselves, our needs and our concerns and our desires and our dreams and our fears and our hopes occupy far more of our time than the prayer request, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life today as it is in heaven. Amen. That's just how life is. I mean, we're human. And the kingdom of God has not yet come. It's not been fully established on our world. And I am still just flesh and blood, and I have needs. I need to eat. I need my coffee in the morning. So think for a moment what life would be like if in this model prayer, Jesus Christ said, you're not allowed to pray for your needs. What if he had said, pray for God's name to be revered and hallowed and glorified. Pray for the coming kingdom to come. Pray for his will to be done in your life. And then stop. Just go out. I mean, the unbelievers do that. The heathen, just go out and work and figure it out yourself and work your rear end off and fret and worry and complain, because you're not going to pray to God about something so trivial and so carnal as, give us this day our daily bread. Get a grip, people. What if Jesus had said that? How fatherless we would really be. Remember, this prayer is a family prayer. We start out and we say what? Our Father. What if my children came, my three sons came to me and said, Chuck, our Father, may your name be honored and hallowed. May your rule be extended from one bedroom to the living room. May your will be my will today. But they can't ask for what they need. They would be orphaned in that sense. So how precious a truth it is that God says, and the Lord Jesus Christ teaches, let us pray for God to be honored. Let us pray for the kingdom to come. Let us pray for his will to be done. And let us with boldness and confidence pray, give us this day our daily need. And God is more than willing to do that. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. You see, when we bring our prayer concerns before God, we're not pushing our needs upon him. We're not trying to squeeze a blessing out of him. He cares for us. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And literally, when Jesus says ask, it's not just ask, it's keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Why? Well, because if I ask today, I'm going to wake up tomorrow, I'm going to have needs for tomorrow. Keep on asking. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. He ain't given me anything. No, the Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. Let's grab on to that promise like a bulldog and not let go. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. God is willing to meet our needs, and God is able to meet our needs. And every obstacle that would have kept him from meeting our needs, our sin, he has eradicated through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us, everybody, the next two words, all things. The divine logic here is very simple. If God did the most difficult thing imaginable, taking reprobate, unrepentant sinners and offering his son as a sacrifice to reconcile us to him, then why would it be hard for him to provide us our daily bread, gas for the car, work so that we can make a living and honor him and provide for our families? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't fret, don't worry, don't sweat it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The prayer, there's three words here: prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Prayer, the Greek word means praying to God, giving an emphasis to personal devotion and realizing how powerful he is. Supplication means tell him what you need. It's a big word. Basically just means tell him what you need. Thanksgiving is a difficult Greek word that means be grateful. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. 1 Peter says that we can cast all our care upon God because he cares for you. The first word, care, cast all your care upon God, means all our concerns, all our needs. We can cast all of those upon God because he cares. That second word, care, is a different word in the Greek text, and it means that he is thinking through and providing for what you need. The reason we don't have to worry is because God's already working on it. You see that? You understand that? How wonderful and how comforting it is that I can pray, our Father, meet our needs. Provide customers for those who need customers. Provide clients for those who need clients, dear God. For my brothers and sisters who need work, provide them with a job. For my brothers and sisters who have a project that's due at work and that's not done, help them to get it done, dear Lord. This prayer teaches us compassion. And it's in our compassion and our sharing with one another, not only in prayer, but in deed, that the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, gets met sometimes. In 1 Peter, Peter the Apostle says, as each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards or good managers of the grace of God. And he's not just talking about spiritual things, but physical things. If God blesses you with some material abundance and you have enough to share, share it. Acts chapter 2. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. We're rounding the bend here, folks, just a few more verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, said, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had what? Need. There's Chuck thinking, you know, that clergy Bahama fund has got an awful lot of money in it. And I'm probably not going to get to the Bahamas this year. I know what I'll do. I'll take out that money and share it with those in need. If I had a clergy Bahama fund, that's exactly what I would do. Chapter 4. Verse 33. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. There was no compulsion here. It's not like Peter said, we've got a new law here. We're going to tax you who have got two houses so heavily that someone else can buy a house. That's wrong. This was love. This was somebody saying, you know, I've got a house and a vacation home and another house. Poor so-and-so doesn't have a place to live. I'll sell my property and give them the money. That's what this is talking about. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and we pray that sincerely, we're asking God not only to meet our needs, but we're asking him to open our eyes and our hearts to the needs of others. And then saying, God, so give to me that I have an abundance that I can share it with those that have need. Even with your pastor. Galatians 6, let's turn there. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians 6. Verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. I've seen some of your good things. I want them. Oh, come on. Get a life. Let's have some fun. But that's the truth. If I have an abundance of the word of God as your minister, it is my responsibility to share every ounce of Bible knowledge I have with you. It's my responsibility to pray every ounce of my soul for you. Likewise, if you have something that's good that you think would bless me or my family, it's time to share. That's the way it should be for all of us and with all of us. So let's come to the throne of grace boldly and let's ask God to meet all of our needs, to give us this day our daily bread. And let us pray for one another that God meets the needs of our brothers and sisters, and let's give to one another, and let's be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for giving us a sense of humor as much as everything else that you've blessed us with, Father. And we ask right now that you meet our needs and that you give to us our daily bread and all that we need, Father, to continue to live and to provide for our families and to serve you with joy. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.